Andy, you are a well-rounded, well-versed driver. I want to kick things off talking about the events at Watkins Glen back in July.
Sure. That was an amazing race for us. We were coming off to win at Detroit, and to get to my home state and my favorite track was one of my biggest goals of the year, was to try and get our victory there. And it came a month early at Detroit, and for us to go pole and then run essentially a perfect race and then win it was a dream come true. That was my fourth win at the 6 hours, and certainly an amazing feeling.
And almost, from what I understand, a role reversal from last year in the way the win came.
Yes, exactly. And last year, I was closing on the Ferrari, got right to his bumper, and we fought it out for the last 10 minutes, and they had the edge on us. And the last 4 years leading up to this year's victory, I'd finished third, second, and second. Mm. So it was four straight years on the podium, and then you get so close so many times, and we led at some point all four of those years, and to be able to take the lead and pretty much dominate in laps led, but have the exact role reversal of last year of the Ferrari closing in on me at the end, giving a good late race charge. It was pretty neat. It was pretty cool to reverse those roles and hold on under pressure.
Now, you know, Andy, as I mentioned, my forte is stock cars and NASCAR, and to go from talking about trying to pin down a Ferrari or whatever the car of choice may be to, let's say, going to Xfinity, as you did a few weeks ago, talk about making that transition and similarities and differences, different road course, different cars. Talk a little bit about that.
The stock cars are an amazing, amazing car to race on a tight, twisty road course. Really, on any road course. This isn't a knock on them by any means. It's not a knock. It's a heavy car. It's a dump truck with a space shuttle engine on the thing. And that's the coolest part about it, is that these cars are 600-800 pounds heavier than the cars that we race, and the CG's higher, and the horsepower is way higher. So, and there's the great thing about it, and what NASCAR's done is they've left it basic. I don't want to say simple. They've left it basic, because it's definitely not simple. It's far from simple. You've got four gears. You got a ton of horsepower. You have zero traction control. You have zero ABS, and you don't have wings and dive planes to mess around and increase downforce on. So, although the cars do make good, decent downforce, we're not like crazy, over the top here. So you've got a great formula and actually a pretty durable tire that takes the abuse from such a heavy car, but you get fall off, which is great. And that's where the racing starts and comes from. And that's where the guys that can be smooth and transition cars well into and out of corners and look ahead and see a pack fighting like crazy and not kill their tires to try to get to the back of that pack, to kind of let that pack come to them. And then when you've still got something good on your go, that's fun. It's definitely a difficult transition when you've run a season of GT3 racing and you're racing these these high tech, really good handling, low, high downforce, low CG GT cars, and then you jump into something like that. It's a different feel. It's a different animal. It's a different strategy. I'd almost want to just have two brains and disconnect one, plug the stock car one in, and so I don't miss a beat. But there is a transition there, but it's fun, and I love doing it.
In fairness to a conversation I had with Danica Patrick a couple of years ago, she has had good success in open wheel, but she told me that the stock cars seem to fit her style better. You know, she's always been sort of the middle of the road qualifier, occasional top 10, but it's interesting, somebody that has driven at Indy and has competed fiercely for a win, to say that that heaviness and of the high horsepower heavy car fits her style better. And I think I hear you echoing some of that, but like you said, having to maybe unplug one side of the brain to get into another mode.
to be honest, I am the same way. I feel like it fits me better. But that goes for the GT cars too. Those are heavier than a lightweight open wheel car, which I enjoyed doing when I was younger. But there's more of a racy feel with a car than an open wheel, little missile or something like that. The speed's fun and all, that's cool. But I mean, you get monster speeds out of these stock cars when you get to the big ovals at Michigan. When you're doing 210 miles an hour rolling into turn one at Michigan in something that weighs 3,500 pounds and the CG's at 3 feet off the ground, that's a whole different speed sensation than doing, probably because I haven't done 240 and you're glued. And so it's actually, for me, it's more fun. It's absolutely more fun.
Well, as you talked about your favorite track, your home track at Watkins Glen, Xfinity, that was at Mid-Ohio, too, correct, a couple of weeks ago?
Last week was Mid-Ohio, yeah. And then I didn't get a chance to do the Watkins Glen race, unfortunately. We were at Road America that weekend.
That's right. As we talk about the road courses from Watkins Glen to Mid-O, and now coming to Virginia International Raceway, just like we talk about the different oval tracks, short tracks, intermediates, and the super speedways, how does that transfer into road courses?
Your basic feel for a race car is still going to transition from every style of racing that you do. And so I would simplify it to say, when you're driving a car to its limit, there's a certain amount that you need to have in reserve, a certain amount of bandwidth, let's call it, to record in your brain what that car is doing. I say this a lot with young drivers that I coach, or new drivers, young or old. There's a point where you're going to go, where your familiarization of the car as you're climbing the mountain of learning what that car does and what racing is, when you're going to go from reacting to acting. And that is a crucial moment. When you have a sixth sense or an anticipation through experience or a seat of the pants feel or enough bandwidth that you've recorded and learned, this is what this car does in this situation, you act on that before it happens or as it's happening, instead of feeling the slide and then taking a minute to figure out what it is, a millisecond to figure out what it is, and then acting upon that. It's almost like steering into something or freeing up your hands a little bit over a rise because you know what's about to happen, and not landing, loading the car up, and then being in trouble and playing catch-up. And so it's like that for every sort of track you go to, whether it's a super speedway to an intermediate to a road course, short track, and high banked, flat, whatever. Learning that tire, learning that weight, learning that car, that's the crucial part.
Are all road courses created equal, or do they have their own unique personalities?
They all have their own unique personalities, and where you'll see that a lot is in the aggregate used to pave the track and the climate that track is in. Whether you're in something that gets when you go down to Homestead and they've used, in the infield roval portion of that track, they've used a really rough aggregate, and it is beaten down on the sun all day, probably 300 days a year. It cooks. That place is a super low grip tire eater on that oval. But then you get up in Canada where in the Northwest, where you've got more cloudy days and you don't get that extreme temperature heat wise, you'll see it grip up. But then when you get really far north, like when you get up to Watkins Glen used to, but even Toronto or Montreal or Tremblant or something like that, where you get tracks that have heavy winters. Short answer is yes, they all have their own unique characteristic. And then taking into account almost every corner has their own characteristic, because not turns 1, 2, 3, and 4, and you're back at start-finish. It's up to 17 to 20 corners, and different elevation changes and different radiuses are going to play different roles in how you set those cars up, and you're going to have to compromise your setup throughout the whole range there.
So, VIR coming up within the next week. What are your thoughts heading here into this portion of Virginia?
VIR is one of my favorite racetracks. It's one of America's premier road courses, hands down. It offers racing across the board, and it's probably the only track in the Mid-Atlantic area that it's set up to handle such an event. You know, we're heading there for the WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, and it's one of the most iconic courses on our schedule. And it's a blast. We got to test there earlier this year, and it is hands down one of my, you know, I always, you know, I'm from New York, and I talk about Watkins Glen a lot, but VIR is definitely a close second to Watkins Glen as far as my favorite tracks. It races really well. The management there understands and listens to the racers, which is mind-boggling that many don't. It's one of the safest tracks that we go to, but also as far as the fans go, they don't kill you on the tickets. You know, there's like a 2-day ticket package there for $65, 3 days for $75. Kids under 16 are free, so it's very fan-friendly, both to the pocketbook, but then for the viewing. You can get up close and personal and walk right up to those tents and look in the garages that they're at, or look underneath the tents that they have and get right there. And then you've got great areas around the track for viewing. And so I'm a fan. I mean, it's one of the coolest places that we go. I can't wait to get racing there.
Andy, is there anything that you wanted to throw in that I didn't touch on?
I'm just going to plug my Michael Shank Racing Acura NSX. These guys have been great to me. We've got 2 victories on the season and another podium. And to be as competitive as we have been, I've got to thank Acura for their support behind me. And as a little personal note, I started an app for car enthusiasts. So probably every single person listening to your show is a car enthusiast. And I've got a free app for Android and iPhones. It's called Motor Crush, MOTOR Crush, and one word, and it's for anything for car enthusiasts. So it's downloaded for free. Check it out. We just launched it about 3 months ago, and we've got almost 20,000 users on it there. So you can find local friends, find local cars and coffees, car shows, and up all the way up to the race teams and racetracks. So it's a pretty neat deal.
And go ahead and give me your car information. What car should they be looking for at VIR this weekend?
This weekend, I will be in the number 93 Acura NSX GTD class car. There's 2 classes of racing. This is a GT-only event. So you're going to see the GTLM cars and the GTD cars. And those are, to explain the differences there, is because they're very, very similar. The GTLM cars are the cars that race at the 24 Hours of Le Mans. The GT3 cars are the cars that are based on the GT3 platform, which is a worldwide rules package that you can take these cars and race them anywhere around the planet just about. And they're designated with red number plates and red mirrors for the GTLM cars, and green number plates and green mirrors for the GTD cars. Plus, actually, for the fans that actually haven't been out to VIR or seen a modern sports car race recently, it's a lot easier now to determine what's going on with those color boards and with the signage. We've got digital signage on the side that updates every lap. Each car tells you what position they're in. So it's a lot clearer for the fans, so you know whether there's a battle on track for position or if it's a lap car or not.
Well, that's great. If there's anything we can do on our end, don't hesitate.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Have a good
day. Appreciate it.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right, buddy. You too. See ya.